Don't let hearing loss affect your quality of life. Today's hearing aids are much smaller and more advanced than ever. Call Beltone for a free hearing test and consultation.
844-999-HEAR.
That's 844-999-HEAR.
Good afternoon, friends. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And wow, we've got an interesting venue today. Well, our venue is at the studios. Maybe a discussion, I should say, rather than venue. I've been doing these intros for 22 years now, and I still don't get them right. Beryl Foreman is here. She's the Marketing and Mobility Coordinator for the Boulevard Business Improvement Association. And Tootie Thomas is here, President of the same. Beryl, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Glad you could be here. You have an interesting job. We'll come back to that. Tootie Thomas, thank you very much
for taking time
to come in. This is one of the most interesting things about the world we live in today is the new coming in mixing with the old. And the Boulevard, which I know you don't want to get it confused with the city of El Cajon, but it is the El Cajon Boulevard we're talking about.
Yes.
That, which goes
within the city of San Diego.
Within the city of San Diego, and it goes from downtown all the way out to El Cajon, but you're talking about the area between Park Boulevard and 54th.
Yes.
Which really hones in on the communities of North Park, University Heights, City Heights, Kensington, Talmadge.
And a lot of that has added brand new culture in recent years, but some of it still has, and I was amazed to see in your information, there's a lot of infill projects available. There's a lot of availability with projects that can be done there. But when you talk about the business improvement, what do you think is the main goal? What are you trying to do? What's the ultimate goal of it?
The ultimate goal of our organization,
yes,
is to bring vibrancy to the economic makeup of El Cajon Boulevard through business.
The boulevard itself right now is fairly vibrant in some areas.
Yes.
So those areas that are vibrant, do they have a newness to them that make them work?
Actually, I love that you honed in on that because about five years ago, we created a hub strategy. Our business district is 4.5 miles of business, 1,000 plus businesses. And so for our organization to just focus on the whole of 4.5 miles, very difficult. So we broke it up into a hub strategy, and each one of these centers of business are our hubs. So we have one at Texas Street, which is called our West End, where the Lafayette Hotel is.
Oh,
wonderful.
What an infamous property there, right?
Well, and famous, not just infamous, no, but
that's
famous.
That's what
also.
I was trying to say, famous. What did I say infamous for? I don't know.
And that really speaks to how the history of El Cajon Boulevard has helped progress, you know, everything that's happening there. We're building on the history, and a lot of new energy and new businesses and new development are coming along to oversee, which is getting us towards our overall goal and making El Cajon Boulevard a really great showcase corridor.
So much to talk about. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, when we talk about this hub strategy, we broke it down into these four hubs, but we really knew that, you know, two fires would create something in between also, you know. And so at our West End hub.
Use the example of two fires?
Right. Like we have a burning fire at... maybe fires isn't the best thing to talk about in California.
Probably.
That's terrible.
Like I said, infamous
but
instead of
these
famous.
These two hubs would create, you know, some kind of a spark.
They would
in between. A spark of activity in between. So the West End hub where the Lafayette is and then 30 ECB has now created all this infill in between that.
Okay.
And we're talking about the area between Park and 805.
Yeah.
That really is a burgeoning, I mean, it's businesses have been growing there for about 5 to 10 years. We're seeing so many more locally oriented, relevant businesses.
In my thinking, it started when the old Sears went away. Do you remember that? You guys aren't old enough to know about that, are you? Oh my gosh.
What Sears?
That's on University.
I know.
What Sears?
Yeah, that's University Avenue. But that's kind of what triggered it in my thinking, was that whole area started to change after that happened. I don't remember anything before that happening, although the history of the Boulevard goes way back to, didn't President Kennedy, I think I saw in one of your articles, drove his motorcade down
the boulevard? The way to SDSU,
And before Interstate 8 was put in, it was the main thoroughfare. It was the main artery east to west.
It was. It was that Interstate 8 and Mission Valley that was the downfall of the Boulevard, you know. And
but really, it speaks to a nationwide trend that freeways and malls and suburbs really took away the prosperity of the urban kinda core, like, and now that's really returning.
Did you guys watch the first Cars movie, the animated Cars?
No.
Oh,
you know,
it's all about a freeway going by and leaving a little, you know, a town kind of desolate.
Hey, we've been busy on the Boulevard. What do you want?
I don't know why Cars is one of my favorite animated movies.
But the way you speak to Sears, El Cajon Boulevard, it was during the mid-century that we had a great mix of furniture store businesses. People, you know, loved cruising the Boulevard for the sake of going to drive-in restaurants and movie theaters. So there really was this buzz during the mid-century that people cling on to. They have a, you know, a love for it. It's the older part of San Diego, and it's really nice to see how that's returning in the way of holding on to that history and showcasing newer businesses.
And it did feel for a while when I was a kid like the Boulevard was a bit neglected from any kind of organization. It seemed like a lot of individual store owners and shops and restaurants were struggling to bring in it, but there was no master plan for it that I'm aware of when I was younger.
That really is the history of business associations being started in San Diego. It was during the 70s and 80s where there was this major downturn, and in order to revive the urban centers, the city helped implement business improvement associations to take on smaller districts within the overall city of San Diego.
So I'd like to later on, after we get through a little bit of what you're doing on the business development here, I'd like to come back to the business association model, because I think that's an interesting model that's happening in a lot of cities around the United States, because downtowns have just been in some downtowns that look like ghost towns now, which is, I'd like to come back to that. But when you took a look at the redevelopment of the area, or the development of it, what was, and I don't, maybe both of you can answer this, what was the prime personal objective? We'll come back for that answer after the break, but what was your personal involvement? Why are you personally involved in this? We'll get right back. Beryl Foreman is here, Tootie Thomas. Beryl is marketing and mobility coordinator. Tootie is president of the business district, the Boulevard Business
Improvement Association.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I can't read my own writing.
It's kind of scary.
I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Biz Talk. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. We have such an interesting show today. Hold on. I'm losing my voice. Not a good thing to do on the radio. We're talking with Beryl Foreman, Marketing and Mobility Coordinator, along with Tootie Thomas, President of the Boulevard Business Improvement Association. Great information, and to get more information, go to theboulevard.org. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Bob Ryan. You know, my handwriting is so bad, it looks like Business in Rearment Association.
There's no help for you.
I know.
I could take a chicken and dip their feet in a well of ink and do this, and I'll be able to read that better than I could read your writing.
I know.
Just saying.
Anyhow,
you can start calling it BIA.
That's it.
Don't give him a shortcut. He's going to take it all the way through.
So the question before we went to the break that I was wanting to ask is, why your involvement in this? I mean, this is probably not something with stock options and retirement potential for you, but maybe it is. I don't know. But why are you involved? Beryl, let's start with you.
Well, I moved to San Diego when I was right out of college. I have a background in marketing, and when I moved to San Diego, I moved right above downtown and was very interested in how the city was redeveloping itself. It was the age of redevelopment.
Moved uptown?
Golden Hill.
Golden Hill.
Yeah. And started studying city planning and saw working for the Boulevard as a great way to jump into the field. And then was very pleased. One, I really enjoy getting to know entrepreneurs and networking and seeing how things come together and, you know, carrying out projects one after the other and seeing how one thing leads to another. At the same time, our organization has been very urban planning forward in the way that we've been advocating for bus rapid transit for a number of years and that we are really looking towards making physical changes to the area.
So you get, it sounds like you get a fair amount of personal fulfillment from your marketing background to work on this project, but was urban planning part of your education or have you learned that as part of your marketing for the organization?
I certainly learned a lot working with the organization, but during the time that I've worked there, for, which has been nearly 13 years, I've also received my graduate degree in city planning.
No kidding.
And well, it really
so
is
it's
what,
a big mixture of the two, and I get to put
their
my
career. I mean, that's really cool. So
and that, it's really what her her passion is. I mean, if you turn her loose on the street, look out. You know, give her a can of paint and look. You know, she's amazing.
She so turns into a wild
or do
woman.
Graffiti with it.
Well, everything. I really think when it comes to urban planning, there's so much that can be done in the near future, and the fact that we oversee a district which, you know, is rather large, but at the same time, it's a great starting point to make change happen. We can get into talks about how placemaking and transforming public space is sort of just a quick, easy step in the way of making, you know, lasting change.
Okay, I get these brilliant ideas when we're on her. Brilliant. I mean, they're just amazing. So you'll be bowled over with this one.
Okay, wait for it.
Let's have a graffiti artist competition
yes.
on the boulevard.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're smiling, Beryl, but you're not.
No, we're all about embracing artists.
Yeah, we're a very art-centered.
At the same time, I mean, initially it was like, oh, great, we should paint utility boxes. We should have murals painted.
I like that.
And those are all ideas that, you know, do fulfill
making. But you need artists to do it.
No, but I think that we can go take a step further. And we've been showcasing how by transforming public spaces in the way of obvious things like having benches and shading and light, that we can create places that people want to gather.
So make it more interesting and don't ask anybody's permission. Just do it at night.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you have to do
it. It's a feel-good approach, you know. We know we're doing right by the community because we're working with
you
the community.
You like that nighttime
that
thing on the boulevard
I
a little too much.
I find it fascinating down there. But I haven't been there in a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah. But you were talking about some interesting things like lighting and benches, which you somebody that's not an urban planner, civic planner, would probably not think a lot about that unless you're using the area. Do you get down to the gnat's eyebrow, like coordinating the stoplights to make sure that traffic flows? Does it? That's not you.
We're advocating for a better environment for pedestrians. For better enhanced transit so that people have other modes and better ways of, you know, coming around to El Cajon Boulevard. It's a very wide boulevard. It's 6 lanes wide with cars. So that's something of a setback when it comes to doing business because it's not so welcoming to even cross the street. So we know what our setbacks are, but we also, embrace the opportunity to create a better environment, a softer streetscape for all users.
That's interesting. Tutti, your reason for being involved as president?
Well, about 11 years ago, we had a restaurant on Fifth Avenue, and things were starting to happen in that area. Someone bought the IBM building, which is the building that we were in the ground floor of, and they were going to build lofts above it. And the plumbing was already going to pot on it. No
pun intended.
Pun intended. So we had to look for somewhere else to move, and we considered downtown and the gas lamp. But really, the value was on El Cajon Boulevard. We could buy a place and not pay rent somewhere, pay a lease somewhere. So
which buying a place downtown was pretty cost prohibitive.
It was. Because the gas lamp was already, you know,
maxed out.
Yes, it was. So we got a great place on El Cajon Boulevard. It's the old Carnation Ice Cream building.
What's your do you still have the restaurant?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Lips.
Lips. And where? Oh, I know where that's
hey,
at.
Hey, take it easy. Evening, nighttime on the boulevard. Settle down.
Shameless plug. Very shameless.
But I also had a cafe downtown in the East Village, and Beryl used to come there all the time. And so when we moved up to the boulevard, she said, hey, would you like to join our organization? It is a board made up of volunteer business owners, and I think you would be great. They didn't have a PROW, which is a public right-of-way ordinance thing where you can create like an outdoor cafe. And we both shared the idea that more eyes on the street, more people on the street made things safer. So I said, if you can get that ordinance or get that program going, I'll join. She's a go-getter. She went and got it. So I had to join. I was obligated at that point.
So the goal for you was to develop the community around and make it a better place. So I have to ask you, because everybody that's been around San Diego for a while knows that at one point that area of town had
It had a different element there.
Yes.
And so we
had a little bit of a reputation.
Yes. And actually, when we moved in, for sure, I mean, my security guards were out there nightly, you know, cleaning up the street, making sure that it was a lot better than it was before we moved in there, you know. And we partnered with the senior center that was on the next corner over and the private eye across the street. And we really changed the way El Cajon Boulevard and that area, 30 ECB, as it's come to be known as one of our hubs.
That's probably why I quit walking it when that reputation went away.
We chased you off the boulevard.
Beryl Forman is here, marketing and mobility coordinator. Tootie Thomas, president of the BIA. I've been it easy on myself. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Biz Talk. We'll be right back. Don't you dare go anywhere. This is cool.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. We're talking today with Beryl Forman, Marketing and Mobility Coordinator, and Tootie Thomas, President of the Boulevard Business Improvement Association, BIA for short. And the principal mission of the association is to improve physical and economic conditions along the 60 blocks of the boulevard between Park Boulevard and 54th Street here in San Diego. They're all full of all kinds of good information. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Bob Ryan. Let's go back to the topic we had before. Montana just mentioned 60 blocks. So if one were to transit the entire 60 blocks, how many different cultures or subcultures are they going to encounter along the way? Because it is, in my understanding, one of the most diverse areas in San Diego, all like in a nice row.
Sure. Well, if you take the MTS Rapid that runs down the boulevard, which we tried to get called the Boulevard Rapid, you'll start that
That's
diversity.
What you tag right away. You go tag it, the buses. Just right on the side of it. They'll get it. They'll get the message.
Use your judgment, Beryl.
Yeah. I put my bike on the bus. I like the bike bus, actually. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, you have names for everything.
Yeah. She's got catchphrases.
Urban camping and bike busing. Yeah.
You're the urban camper.
So 60 blocks is how many miles approximately?
4.5
4.5 miles. And
traverses
how many?
Traverses through a number of neighborhoods, right? Which also captures those various, you know, ethnic groups along the way or cultural hubs.
Love
University
it.
Heights, North Park, Kensington Talmadge, Normal Heights,
yes,
and City Heights.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So what I know there's a new Little Saigon there.
Yes.
Which obviously is going to be Asian influence and mostly Vietnamese, I'm guessing, businesses in the
it's
area.
It's not going to
Highland
be.
It
Newport.
Is already.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Since the Vietnamese started arriving post the Vietnam War, they've settled mostly initially in City Heights. And so businesses propped up. And there's about 70% Vietnamese-owned businesses between Highland and Euclid, which is right around hugging Hoover High School.
I bet you guys have a different image of the Vietnam War than I do.
Well, just because of their age difference?
Yeah, because I actually got a draft card for the Vietnam draft.
Did you?
Yeah. My number was 301.
Yeah. And Beryl's been there. She took a trip there 2 years ago.
No way. Did you scuba dive or surf? Because I hear it's amazing.
I did go out to Ha Long Bay.
Yeah.
You know about Ha Long Bay?
Yeah. I've heard of it. I've never been there.
Yeah,
she's a real
fabulous
foodie, though, so she ate her way through Vietnam more than anything.
Too.
I only eat Vietnamese food a couple of times.
Oh, you should go down to Little Saigon with Beryl. She will show you
the best
place.
Oh, we'd love to take you up on that. Absolutely.
Montana, yeah, it was really about 10 years ago or so, through this community plan engagement process, the Boulevard was specifically asked to help promote the ethnic business clusters. And at that very time, a group of Vietnamese who sort of came out of a student association but wanted to, you know, take the next step came forward to our organization stating that we have a really unique ethnic enclave and wanted to call it the Little Saigon District. So we've been working closely with them ever since and really wanting to give it that look and feel and pronounce it as a great cultural destination. So with that, it was really like, not only do I love to travel, but because I've been working so closely on this Vietnamese-focused cultural district, I took the opportunity to go to Vietnam.
So there's some obvious influences along the way, like San Diego State University.
Yes.
I mean, what that has some impact, I'm guessing, along the boulevard.
Oh, yes.
What is the impact in the culture of the students and the faculty and the impact on the boulevard from San Diego State?
Well, number one, Beryl.
I got my graduate degree there.
Well, we don't want to make this just about us, but we also work with the students and the professors there.
But it is about you because you're doing this.
Yes, yes.
Well, in fact, one of the head professors who's now like a head of the urban planning department, Sherry Ryan, she will be a speaker at our town hall meeting.
No kidding.
So we work very closely with professionals in the field to help inform and make good recommendations and move our
efforts
along.
Do the students bring an economic impact?
They do.
I'm guessing since there's, 40,000 there or something like that?
I mean, the reason that El Cajon Boulevard has one of the first bus rapid transits in San Diego is because the route is from downtown all along El Cajon Boulevard to San Diego State University.
Makes sense.
So there's a great transit connection that exists there. We certainly want to encourage more, you know, activity of students finding their way to El Cajon Boulevard. I think it's a closer link to the university itself than, you know, just sort of bussing them out to a party scene in PB or something like that. We have a lot of great local offerings in the way of, you know, inexpensive ethnic food, music venues. We have a movie theater. We have got a lot of great events. One coming up this weekend is called Sip, Shop, and Celebrate.
Sip?
Oh, yeah.
Sip, Shop, and Celebrate.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, honing in on this hub strategy, we put on a lot of events that help support and showcase the businesses in and around, you know, the Lafayette Hotel. This one will be showcasing 30th and El Cajon Boulevard. We have a number of events leading up actually in the new year around Little Saigon District, but this particular one is really just a festive gathering to showcase the holidays, bring more shoppers onto the boulevard, showcase all the different variety of businesses that exist there. There happen to be about 6 breweries.
Yeah. Really?
Right in the
Did you
30th
know we're the microbrewery capital
hub?
Of the
yes.
world?
Yes.
San Diego is?
Yeah.
I love that. We're the capital of the world. By the way, we're the cut flower capital of the world. We're the reverse osmosis capital. Did you know all these things?
I didn't know about the reverse osmosis one, but I'm going to make a note of that
real
quick.
We're the algae capital of the world.
Oh, algae. I can see that.
Yeah. Not mold, algae.
I know that one. Sea urchin.
Sea urchin.
Yeah. San Diego has a really, I think it's because of our kelp forest in the ocean.
No kidding.
That we have a great diversity of fish, and sea urchin is one thing.
I did not know that.
And after climate change, we'll be harvesting them off of El Cajon Boulevard.
Yeah, we're not too way away.
Well, we were not in Ramona, so at some point in time, we're going to have beachfront property,
there you
right?
go.
1,500 feet up. Yeah. So the west end of the boulevard, that kind of borders on heading down right into downtown, there's a gay community involved in the West End. Am I right on that?
A gay community?
Yeah.
No.
No?
We have a lot of gays that live there, but that's not really the community. Hillcrest is on the other side of Boulevard.
Okay.
We butt up to Park Boulevard and up to
So there's not
Hillcrest
much of
district.
That influence then?
Well, there is because a lot of the gay community moved out of Hillcrest because the same reason why we moved our restaurant. It was too expensive. And so they moved out and they moved into North Park, which is now the West End. And I think it was one of the 8 towns in America that they consider to be the most progressive, you know, North Park is.
There's a lot of redevelopment going on in North Park and Normal Heights, too.
Yes.
And we're
sandwiched right between that. We are the boulevard that, yes, yep. passes through that. So we have the Fenton development coming up at Florida and El Cajon Boulevard.
What's the Fenton development?
Fenton is a developer here, Aishi Fenton. 165 units.
Okay.
Yeah, 165 units. Dunn Edwards opened up across the street. We had another 2 buildings open up just west of the Lafayette
Hotel. I want to get back to this right after the break. Beryl Forman and Tootie Thomas are here from the Boulevard Business Improvement Association. I
you
can read my
it.
Writing
there
now that
go.
I scribbled
BIA
over.
For short.
I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
BizTalk. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. And are you courageous enough to see what goes on behind the scenes here at Biz Talk? I bet you are. Come backstage into the studio with us and watch us on our Biz Talk Radio Facebook page. That's BIS Talk. And see us with our guests and watch this overly oiled machine in action. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Bob Ryan. You know, the commercial breaks are often the most interesting part.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Talk about being a fly on the wall.
The listeners don't get to hear it, but if you watch it on Facebook, you get to see the
whole
thing.
You get to see, yeah, and hear the whole thing. No cussing.
Yeah. Tootie Thomas is with us. Beryl Foreman is here, marketing and mobility coordinator. Tootie is the president of the Boulevard Business Improvement Association. I got that right now, didn't
you? Yes.
Woohoo. Woo-hoo. Takes me about four segments to
you
get everything
it.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking about the changes or the things that you're bringing to the Boulevard. And by the way, we did talk about the confusion between the name El Cajon Boulevard and the city of El Cajon. Because
yes.
This doesn't extend into the city of El Cajon.
No.
This is all in the city of San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our boundary is between Hillcrest and the College District, basically. So that's a good way to pinpoint where we're at.
And you were talking about the mixed use. Now, I'm fascinated with mixed use because I spent most of my childhood and young adulthood, not young adult, but childhood on the East Coast. And there was a lot of these really old buildings that, you know, they had the retail shops and like you lived above a butcher or a baker or something
yes.
like that. Rather live above a baker because you get all the baking smells,
right?
Smells,
right?
You're hungry all the time. So I love mixed use. Are you seeing some movement in that area?
Oh, yes.
You talked
definitely.
About Fenton, and then there was another. Are they doing anything, or are you talking to other people?
There's
looking?
About 8 to 10 large-scale projects being underway on El Cajon Boulevard right now.
Mm-hmm. Wait, and when you say underway, they're in the planning stages? Or
they're being built.
They're being built?
And some
yes.
of them have already opened.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. If you think about the history of San Diego, you can't leave out this section because it was the artery west to east, east to west for a very long time before the 8 was put in. So it is.
Do you know that it goes all the way to Savannah, Georgia?
No.
It's the first transcontinental highway.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
From Georgia all the way to
San
Diego.
And that's how people
Pardon
got...
Pardon my what? But that's like, really?
That's
seriously?
How people got out here and started to populate San Diego.
In their
Diego.
Covered wagons.
Well, pretty close. Pretty close, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it went on east all the way to, did you say Alabama? Or
Georgia.
Georgia.
Savannah,
I can speak
Georgia.
Georgian. Do you speak Georgian?
No.
I do.
What is the old highway?
Highway 80.
Old Highway 80.
Yeah,
that's
oh
it.
My
yeah, I've
that
seen
was
the historic
highway
80.
I did not know
yeah.
that. Do you guys have pictures up of all
we
the...
do.
Do you really?
Yeah. We have we actually have a timeline, which we'll send you a picture of and you can put it up on your website.
Cool.
But yeah. There's a timeline that shows when they left Savannah, Georgia and when they started coming
no
this way.
No way.
Exactly.
Seriously. So the challenges that you have sound very exciting to work on at this
oh,
point
yes.
in time.
Well, one thing that I do find fascinating is that for the length of its history and the fact that it is this major transcontinental highway that up until like 5 years ago, El Cajon Boulevard was primarily one- and two-story buildings. You know, it's the center of the city. It's a question of why there hasn't been more urban-dense development.
Did I read that there's no height restriction on buildings along El Cajon? And no,
in some areas.
Some areas.
My building does not have a height restriction.
So
on
somebody
it.
Could build like a four-story...
I'm taking offers.
Yeah.
For
you know,
more
if you build units above that would be a
yes,
really interesting
yes,
place to
sure
live.
Would.
That's it.
We'd need about 8 feet of concrete in between
yeah,
us.
Probably.
Soundproof.
So it's loud in lips?
Yes, yeah. It is. It's loud. It's loud in lips.
And rowdy.
Outside of lips. Yeah.
The enjoyment that you must be having in seeing this come to fruition is got to overcome any obstacle that you must see because this has to be a fun project.
It's completely fun, yes. It keeps us on our toes. We're constantly working at it. It's become our passion, you know?
I know you both have your own personal interests. I mean, you can't work on a project and not have something that fascinates you a lot. Beryl, what if you think about what you're working on, what part of what you're doing, and don't say everything, because I know that's what everybody's going to say, but what part of what you do fascinates you a lot?
But the dynamics of the boulevard are fascinating. And as I said, The marketing aspect has led to us receiving a lot of interest in the way of more small businesses, and then development capturing that opportunity. And where we're taking it really today is talking about engaging the residents, the city at large, about what next steps we want to take to really fulfill this dream of becoming a great transit-oriented district.
So that's one of the main focuses of your meeting that you're having December 4th, then, is to get community input. Is that right?
Oh, that's right. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Our efforts around how we captured bus rapid transit on El Cajon Boulevard, how we've captured greater, you know, a greater mix of small businesses, how we've captured now new development underway, and how we want to fulfill this larger goal of becoming a great corridor for transit development.
And 2020 isn't that far off. We're heading into 2019, so
that's
we've got...
why we wanted.
Wait, 2020 doesn't have anything to do with vision.
It has with both.
Oh, so it's a play on
it comes
the.
Together.
It
is.
Comes together.
It's
so.
about the history and about the future of El Cajon Boulevard.
So, what are people going to see when they attend the meeting? Are they going to see maps, concepts? Give me an idea of what they're going to see
at the town hall.
Yes,
they're going to see three fabulous speakers and a presentation from a what do we call him, Barrow?
Transit Center.
Yeah.
I recently went to a conference where this man, Kirk from Transit Center, which is based out of New York, spoke to how cities around the country are piloting bus lanes,
lanes. Somebody from New York know about public transportation?
Yeah, right? We've got a lot to learn. But actually, he's really represents a national think tank, if you will, as well as a foundation that is supporting cities that are taking those next steps, the steps that we on the Boulevard want to take to become a great example of transit-oriented development. So while we do have shinier buses and shinier bus stations, it really hasn't fulfilled this goal of speeding the line, making it more rapid between downtown and SDSU, as well as the hopes that when 500 new residents move onto El Cajon Boulevard with all this development underway, that they are ensure that there'll be new transit riders as well. So in order to make a better transit system, we need to take some next steps to overall fulfill this dream.
And that line is getting a lot of ridership as it is. We've heard 10,000 riders a day. So that's a lot of riders that are moving.
If we could put radios in there tuned to AM 1700 ESPN,
we need to
do it. They could listen to our show every day. We could play replays all day long.
We need to do it.
Imagine that.
We'd get more people to our town hall as well, huh?
That's true. We got to talk more about the town hall.
Yeah,
when we come back, I want to get what's fascinating to you. And then we've got so much more to talk about. Only two segments left. This show's going way too fast.
We'll come back next week.
Oh,
invite yourself back. We're here.
So I want to talk about that.
Let's take us out.
I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Biz Talk will be right back. Don't you dare go away.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. The Boulevard Business Improvement Association, they've got lots of information that you don't want to miss. We're going to talk a little bit in a minute about the next town hall meeting coming up December the 4th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we're talking today with Beryl Foreman, Marketing and Mobility Coordinator, and Tootie Thomas, the president of said association. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Bob Ryan, and that town hall is going to be at the Rock Church in the...
Which is located right at the 15 El Cajon Boulevard, which happens to be one of our like pilot areas for transit.
Yeah. It's really the center of the boulevard.
4001 El Cajon Boulevard.
Yep. Yes.
I did my homework.
So, Tootie, your involvement, what interests you the most about this? Obviously, you're a business owner in the area. That has to have some impact on your thinking about what you want to see there. But what interests you the most?
I think the most interesting thing about the Boulevard is the people and the stories. So it's really about business owners, entrepreneurs who have moved there, have been there for 75 years, or have been there for 6 months. They all have a fascinating story about.
There's a jewelry store along there I think has been there about 70 years.
Yeah,
right?
Amazing.
The grandson's running it. Do you know about, am I talking about the right place?
I don't know.
It's a small one. Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but it's a good story anyway.
Listy Motors, has been there forever.
Who has?
Listy Motors. What's the name of the?
McCloskey.
Escrow has been there for 75 years.
Of course, the Lafayette Hotel.
The pizza place. Anyway, they've been there
Venice
a lot
pizza.
Of very old.
They're
Venice
going on
pizza.
Their 60 year anniversary, yes. And
no,
I don't want to
kidding.
Leave that out because I'm in touch with the business owner right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a big deal,
out.
You know. But to hear these stories, we are very active in re-energizing these vacant lots that we have on the boulevard. And one of them is called the Ferret 44, and it's at Fairmont on El Cajon Boulevard. And it was just a lot that was filled with construction vehicles for the road work that's been going on. And we talked to Price Charities, who was generous enough to give us a limited lease on that property and move those back.
Right.
And so we reactivated this front area, the Ferret 44, and we had this lady that was there. Her name was Mireya, and she opened up a little pop-up of tacos and something. She had come from Mexico as an abused spouse with two kids, no husband. When she turned her husband in for the abuse that he was getting, the police started to abuse her also.
Oh.
So she left Mexico and came here as an immigrant. And that was the first way that she could make money, was to pop this up and do what she did best, which was cook and feed her kids. Right. And they were all there helping her with this. It was an amazing story. And it's those kinds of things, I think, that really make me passionate about what we're doing.
You know, when I think about the area of town, the boulevard, the area you're talking about, I feel the word rich is in there. Not rich in money, but rich in history and culture and diversity. Yes. It feels like kind of a small world to its own right there.
And for a while, it had been ignored. And now there's just so much buzz and activity and reasons to go explore El Cajon Boulevard that it's becoming like a bridge to the neighborhoods. So by exposing these vacant lots, transforming them into gathering spaces, transforming into places where people like Mireya can start up a business, really is taking next steps towards this economic development, gleaning on what the possibilities are for development and for the possibilities of more business activity.
Speaking of gentrification, is it when areas are gentrified, oftentimes it prices the existing tenants and people out, like what happened in maybe Hillcrest, right?
Yes.
So is it still affordable there for businesses to start up compared to like downtown and other places?
Yes, I would say it is. And I think also it's one of our goals to not leave people out or to push people out. So if a business is there, we're trying to create more opportunity through mixed-use development, encouraging that kind of thing along El Cajon Boulevard so that we can keep those people. You know,
and there's just a range of possibilities for how to get a business off the ground. As I said, at places like Ferret 44 and our other events, such as Boulevard the Marne Market, or we have this First Friday Market that's attached to Anthem Vegan. Those are all mobile food vendors that, you know, it costs about $1,000 to get your business started. But then here you are on El Cajon Boulevard realizing business possibilities. There's other groups where, such as developers, where we encourage them to make smaller storefronts so that businesses could get their foot in the door.
And one way that we're getting these developers to the boulevard is we've done these developer tours where MTS gave us a couple of buses.
Metropolitan Transit. Yeah.
And they're great partners of ours, you know, great partners of ours. And then we got city officials to get on the bus with us, with all these developers, and we would take them on a tour. Now it's happening all over San Diego. All these business improvement associations are doing the same thing. They like that model, and they can see how it's paid off on El Cajon Boulevard.
Okay, I want to get into that because it's one of the most fascinating topics I was interested in asking you about. But before we do, the town hall is December 4th.
December 4th.
From
6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Rock
at
Church.
Yep.
Yes.
What did you say, 40th and, no.
4001 El Cajon Boulevard.
Yeah, so it's the 15 freeway
and
El Cajon Boulevard.
A lot of dynamic speakers talking about the possibilities for El Cajon Boulevard, what next steps they'd recommend taking, as well as opportunities to just ask, you know, viewers there, what would make El Cajon Boulevard a more enjoyable space? We're very much
so
about...
So who should come to that?
Neighbors. We want to see neighbors. We would love to see developers. We want people who are interested in El Cajon Boulevard and the changes that are going on there to come and share their ideas.
So if somebody's looking at starting up a... So we're starting in January, we're doing our first episode of Bizruptors, Seeking Bizruptors, Believing is Seeing Disruptors, Level 1. We're going to do a startup competition live on air. And I was telling you that on one of the breaks, and you said you're looking at doing something with startups for the El Cajon Boulevard area, when is that planned for?
We're looking in the early new year. Ferret 44 at Fairmont and El Cajon Boulevard has been a launching pad for the last 2 years for small businesses, and we work with partners who offer offer extended technical assistance to help launch businesses. So we thought that with grants as well coming in to help further, you know, people's brands and buy equipment, that we should make an expo to showcase these number of businesses.
Very cool.
And that it could be something that really focuses in on expanding the cultural diversity of El Cajon Boulevard, as well as welcoming, you know, great new businesses.
So many questions, so little time. But the you said this is kind of spurring on other business development in other communities. Wow.
Yeah, we got to go to a break.
Way too fast. I think we need more of this, not just around San Diego, but around our country, yeah. Because a lot of areas are falling into neglect. A lot of shopping centers are going away. There's so much that can be done with communities that already exist rather than going out and buying land.
That's right. Wow. Come up to the Boulevard. It's happening. It's vibrant.
I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Biz Talk will be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing in Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. You look marvelous.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, darling.
We'd like to take this moment to thank our award-winning engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, our show music by Derek Audette, and our intern, Sunit, who is in studio with us today working on our social media. We couldn't do it without any one of you. We thank you for that. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Bob Ryan. We have so much to talk about in so little time. The association to, you don't call it, redevelopment, it's improvement, right?
Yes.
Are there a lot of buildings along there that still have some interesting architecture to them?
Of course.
That they've been built over a very dispersed period of time. So there's a lot of different looks. I know
the heyday of the Boulevard was the mid-century when I talked about the furniture stores and stuff like that. So we have a lot of great examples of mid-century architecture.
I was born in the mid-century.
Steve Aldana, who's on our staff, he actually is, he's really turned on by that. So he takes a lot of care in collecting that history and the old pictures and what's there now, and you know,
I guess what I'm looking at, there's a community down in South Bay called Bonita, right? And they have a look they want to kind of a McDonald's moved in, and they had to make it look more like it fit into the community. I don't get the feel that that's happening here. I get the feel that there's more creativity and freedom of expression. But you talked about these hubs. Are the hubs designed to create a community in a few blocks of the
exactly.
area? That's what it is?
That's what it is.
So like Little Saigon, would that be, is that, that kind of the cultural hub you're talking
about? Yeah, we've capitalized on what was there first. That's why we're an improvement association, right? But we capitalized what was there. So Little Saigon was where all of these refugees were moving into from after the war, and then they were opening their business. So there was already electricity happening there. There was already stories being told there. And then all we did is coming in and help lifting that up. We're coming in to help highlight that and showcase
it more. Give
it
the look and
more.
Feel
yes.
of a cultural district.
And the
district.
Same thing, you know, 30 ECB, where we're having the sip and shop on Friday night. The same thing there. The new buildings that are coming up all have their own character to them. It's very interesting. Mike Burnett, who's a fantastic architect here in San Diego, built the Ernest, which is right off of El Cajon Boulevard on 30th Street. And it's a mixed-use building. There's businesses on the bottom and fantastic apartments on top. And the prices for those apartments are not cheap. These are not, low-income buildings that we've seen for years and years and years happening in that area. This is now upscale, and it's bringing a new group of people to the Boulevard, and we love that.
So there's a lot of interesting and diverse areas. Other than Little Saigon, are there other plans for other kind of cultural hubs that are in the works right now that we know about, or is that still being looked at and developed?
Well, one thing that Beryl can tell you about is, when we left it out, is the amount of African refugees that we have had into that area, City Heights. And so, Beryl, you didn't tell them a little
bit.
Well,
in showcasing the ethnic business clusters that we were proud to get involved with, that's how Little Saigon District was created. It was also relevant that we have a number of East African business owners on El Cajon Boulevard. And so we explored how we can help better market them and expose them to the larger community of San Diego. And I remember, getting to know businesses and really honing in on this strategy. And then a writer from the Union Tribune says that announced El Cajon Boulevard being the Foodies Appalachian Trail. I'm like, okay, it's been stated,
Our
work's done. In any case, it really shows the amount of cultural diversity that exists along El Cajon Boulevard, and where there's a growing amount of businesses that cluster in one area, that really in and of itself is a cultural district. So then we take the opportunity to have meetings so that the neighbors are interacting more with each other, informing what next steps they want to take. That's how this Sip and Shop event came along, which is this Friday. Why we put on the Boulevard Market.
By the way, what are we sipping when we shop?
Just depends where you're visiting.
But as I said, there's like six breweries right at the Boulevard. And then how we create more creative streetscapes in the way of building a tree bench right in front of Lips, or taking on Take Back the Alley projects.
What's a tree bench?
A tree bench is a bench that goes around the tree. It protects the tree, but it also gives a place for my customers to sit. It gives a great place for the seniors who are coming down from the senior center to sit during the day with their dogs, meet other people along the boulevard.
Do it different and point the seats into the tree.
Well, who doesn't want to sit under a tree?
That's disruption.
A new model. And then you could do all kinds of interesting, never mind. So the work that you're doing right now, the main focus is on the town hall.
Yes.
That's what we're basically...
gather information from the community as well as inspire future ideas for what next steps we want to take to make El Cajon Boulevard an even better place than it is today.
Does the Rock Church have enough room?
Yes.
That's a joke.
They have a very large, have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's been amazing there.
So everybody that's interested in the Boulevard, the El Cajon Boulevard area between
Park Boulevard and 54th.
I always like to say the fun stops at 54th, but you said the college people wouldn't.
We should also mention that if anybody wants any more information, to go to theboulevard.org. Great landing page on the website there, and lots of contact information as well.
And we also have a Facebook event page for the Sip and Shop, as well as for the...
How do they get to the Facebook? Is it Sip and Shop?
El Cajon Boulevard.
El Cajon Boulevard.
All spelled out.
No. I mean on Facebook.
Yeah, El Cajon Boulevard.
Yeah, you'll find our page, and that's where we have a number of our events listed.
I was thinking you were saying El Cajon Boulevard is how they drive.
But we also have an event listing for the Boulevard 2020 Town Hall.
So the bottom line to this is we're going to see a transition over time into a diverse, multicultural, interesting community, which has the hubs, as you call them, that we're hoping to create. The different hubs of, when you talk about a hub, I guess I'm thinking Little Saigon, is it all going to be kind of a...
Not all cultural.
It's not cultural.
It could be
a business district.
But you wouldn't just drive to Little Saigon and go get, you know, a bowl of pho and leave. We're
a
giving
bowl
you
of
the...
Pho.
Pho.
That's
their most
soup?
Popular...
I've never had that.
Okay, you got to just go with Barry. You got her card. We'll give her an extra hour for lunch.
But the idea is to go there and explore. And there's by making the streetscape a lot more inviting and showcasing through, you know, signage, all the different offerings. That's what creates a cultural hub.
Beryl Foreman, Marketing and Mobility Coordinator, Tootie Thomas, the president of the Boulevard Business Improvement Association. Thank you guys so much for appearing and your good work.
You've
been listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, where we make courageous contagious. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Go take that mad leap of faith today. Do something great for yourself, folks. Bye-bye.